Let's head over to the KRD News Line now, joined by America's Money Answers man, Jordan Goodman. And of course, the turmoil in the banking sector is continuing. Jordan, what is the latest this morning?
Well, Silicon Valley Bank, which failed 2 weeks ago, just got bought by First Citizens Bank of North Carolina, kind of brokered by the FDIC. First Citizens Bank soared 50% yesterday on the news that they were able to do that because they got such a sweetheart deal. They're buying $56 billion in deposits and $72 billion in loans, the good ones. And the bad ones is about $90 billion in loans is being left behind to the FDIC. This is kind of the good bank, bad bank scenario here. It's Silicon Valley Bank had some really good parts to it, and that's what First Citizens is buying. They're leaving the rest behind for the FDIC.
Yeah, and when it comes to the FDIC, we know they've got about $1 billion on hand, but it's going to cost a lot of money. We're really covering a lot of those failures, and now there's even more calls for the FDIC to be able to cover more accounts than what they currently are.
They have $100 billion in cash, the FDIC. They spent about $20 billion on resolving both Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. But currently they're insuring deposits up to $250,000. There's a lot of talk about should they have universal insurance and insure everybody for the full amount. That would require an act of Congress. Last week, Treasury Secretary Yellen said, we can't do that. That's going to be something coming from Congress. And people said, well, you did it for Silicon Valley banks. You can do it for other banks as well. And it doesn't look right now that Congress is having the appetite to raise the deposit limit that much. So what an individual depositor is doing is moving their money around to keep it under $250,000, several different banks. Individuals can do that, but companies can't do that. Companies that have millions and millions of dollars. I mean, Silicon Valley Bank, most of the high-tech companies had their deposits there. And had they not saved Silicon Valley Bank and kept all their deposits going, a lot of companies wouldn't have been able to make payroll. So this is a classic kind of too-big-to-fail situation, Andrew.
Yeah, and you know, when it comes to these too big to fail, we also know that these were some of the smaller regional banks. It's not like what we saw in 2007, 2008 with, you know, the likes of Lehman Brothers and Countrywide, things like that as well. But there were some big factors in this one, and it was caused by the kind of constant discussion around interest rates as well, and really this long-term kind of period of inverted yields.
So what happened is the Silicon Valley Bank brought in all these deposits, over $200 billion in deposits, from all these high-tech companies and venture capitalists and private equity and all these fancy rich people. They had to do something with those deposits, so they bought long-term treasury bonds. Well, when long-term treasury bonds were at a decent price, it was fine. But then the Fed raised interest rates 9 times in the last year or so, and so the value of those bonds went down. And when there was a run on the bank, people need their money immediately, they had to sell bonds at a loss to meet those deposits. This is not the only case like this. There's over $600 billion in unrealized losses on the books of banks around the country. A lot of the banks did exactly the same thing. So that's why we're thinking Silicon Valley Bank is not a unique situation. And if there's a run on the bank, that's what happens. The banks have to sell their bonds at a loss to be able to meet those withdrawals.
Yeah, and when it comes to that, you know, kind of strategy, I know a lot of the banks, you know, were in those long-term investments, but as we mentioned, this has been going on for some time with these kind of consistent interest rate hikes. Is there, you know, something that should have been looked at with, you know, the people managing those investments kind of, you know, in charge of the bank to maybe have looked at adjusting that strategy and not being, you know, so heavily invested for so long, knowing that we were on that continued path of interest rate hikes?
This was not a surprise, okay? As I said, many other banks have done exactly the same thing. I mean, the feeling is there's two different kinds of risk. There's credit risk, the risk of default, and there's interest rate risk. They were buying treasuries, so there was no credit risk on those. But the interest rate risk is where there was. Now, they didn't have a risk officer at Silicon Valley Bank for, you know, quite a long time, but any obvious person could figure out that this was going to be a problem. As long as there's no run on the bank, it's fine. But when there is, they have to come up with the money quickly to meet these withdrawals, and that's what they weren't able to do. The same thing happened at Signature Bank, and on the bigger scale, the same thing happened at Credit Suisse, the second largest bank in Switzerland, which a week or so ago was merged into UBS, like a shotgun wedding, basically, with the Swiss National Bank putting $100 billion into that. So this is kind of shaking confidence in banks all around the country. And I'll tell you, the other area that people are worried about is commercial real estate. Banks have made billions and billions of dollars to commercial real estate, and particularly office buildings, where there's just a lot of people not going back to work these days. They're working from home, so there's just a lot less demand for office space, and the feeling is there could be a huge amount of defaults because a lot of the mortgages that these commercial real estate buildings have are coming up for refinancing this year, and it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to refinance those loans, and they may have a bunch of defaults on that area. So I would say that's the next area that people are looking at, they're worried about in the banking system, Andrew.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot to keep our eye on, Jordan. We appreciate it as always. Again, if anyone wants to get more information, you know, maybe reach out to you with some specific questions, keep up on this with a daily basis. What's the best way to do so?
My email is jordan@moneyanswers.com. That's the best way to reach me.
Perfect. Jordan, we appreciate it as always.
Okay, thank you, Andrew.